The Organic Act was created the territory. It was passed on March 3rd, 1849. And then, of course, it was a month later, or more, until that word actually made it out here to the frontier. By Mayor Colina and Brady Duchesne and up the river. What that Organic Act specified, among other things, was that to the extent applicable or something like that. But basically, the existing laws of the Wisconsin Territory would continue in effect in the new Minnesota Territory. And that included that there was no demarcation. There's one set of law west of the Mississippi and another set of law east of the Mississippi. The laws of Wisconsin Territory were in effect in the new Minnesota Territory throughout. That's why we're focusing a little bit more on Wisconsin and Michigan and Illinois and Indiana rather than Iowa. And I'm not even sure what came right before Iowa, because that's not quite as relevant, because that's not specified explicitly in the Organic Act. But the Wisconsin laws remaining in effect, there is an explicit reference to that. Now, that's not quite as odd as it seems, because this, for a time, these boundaries kept changing. If you ever try to look at historic maps, they're changing every couple of years as lines are redrawn. So the Iowa Territory had actually been, for a time, part of Wisconsin Territory anyway, so it's not that odd. This act specified that Wisconsin laws would continue in effect. And keep in mind, too, that when Wisconsin became a territory in 1830-something or whatever, its Organic Act specified that Michigan law, which the territorial laws of Michigan, would remain in effect in Wisconsin. And when Michigan became a territory, it specified that the laws of the Illinois Territory would remain in effect. And when Illinois became a territory, it specified that Indiana law, territorial law, would remain in effect. And when Indiana became a territory, it specified that the laws of the Northwest Territory would remain in effect. So, in theory, and again, don't run into court Monday morning with this, 1823 case or whatever. But in theory, there's kind of this chain of title that, so if to the extent that it has never been repealed, if there is something in the original Northwest Ordinance, or there is something in a statute passed by the Northwest Territory Legislature, or if there's something in the, in a statute passed by the Indiana Territory Legislature, or an Indiana Territorial Court, et cetera, through all these other states, in theory, those are still in effect. So on some obscure point where there is, a statute or case on all fours, I think that there's a pretty strong case to be made that those have kind of a special standing that an old case from some other state would not have. So for example, if at some point there hasn't been a case on the subject since 1830 or whatever, and you have an 1830 case from Indiana Territory, well, that 1830 case from the Indiana Territory seems to me has a much stronger precedential value than an 1830 case from Kentucky, because that Indiana Territorial Court is really a predecessor court of the Minnesota Supreme Court. So there's, again, you're not going to be citing every day, but sometimes that file that away in the back of your head. Some of the ones might have a little bit more precedential value than they would otherwise. For that reason, and I should just point out too that the Organic Act, if you ever look at Volume 1 of Minnesota Statutes Annotated, that has in front of it, I think it has the Declaration of Independence. It's not going to be a Supreme Court, which is what we're called. But it has some of those earlier documents. It has the Northwest Ordinance printed in there with notes concerning it. And that Organic Act, the Act of 1849, that created the Minnesota Territory, that mounted into there, along with the Act creating the state. So they are available there. The territory existed. The territory existed from 1849 to 1858, and 1858 was when it became a state. The procedure for a new state being created was, they warned us that there would be music and shouting next door, so I'll speak up a little bit. The state was created in 1858, and the procedure for creating a new state, the territory, I guess, strictly speaking, is the thing that gets created and then is later admitted to the Union as a state. And the procedure for that happening is that the U.S. Congress passes an enabling act, which enables the residents to write a constitution, a constitutional convention, and then that constitution is transmitted back to Congress for approval, and at such time as Congress approves the Constitution, then the state becomes a state. Well, in 1858, and again, the little bit outside the scope of what we're talking about, but the main political issue, surrounding statehood for Minnesota was slavery, because we're almost on the eve of the Civil War. But that Enabling Act was passed in 1858, and the residents of Minnesota were called upon of the territory, which extended to Missouri. But the Enabling Act, I'll digress for a minute. Both sets of acts specify boundaries for the state. The Organic Act specified this territorial boundary. And in addition to calling for a constitutional convention, the Enabling Act also specifies the boundaries of the new state. And in this case, they were specified as the familiar boundaries. So that's an action by Congress specifying the boundaries. Although the political issue here at the time was what direction will the new state point? Will it run north-south like this, or will the new state look something like that? So there was a extending to the Missouri and leaving the northern half for a later state. But obviously what was chosen was the existing boundaries. And so the Enabling Act was passed, and a constitutional convention was called in Minnesota. And that's another very interesting chapter in Minnesota history. The Minnesota Constitution is unique in that if you ever need to consult the original document, there are actually two original documents. So if you think there's a lot of political contentiousness these days, it was even more so then, because Minnesota has two constitutions. We have a Republican Constitution and we have a Democrat Constitution, because there were actually two constitutional conventions that took place. An election was held for delegates to the Constitutional Convention. These people all came to St. Paul, and that election, you would think if you're running for election to the Constitutional Convention, you would think there would be this lofty debate, about these deep, profound constitutional issues. Well, that's not what's happening. They were arguing about little parochial matters of the day. So if you think politicians today aren't lofty enough, well, they weren't lofty back then either. They were arguing about these little pinky things. But in any event, they all got elected. They all came to St. Paul. The capital, there was a capital building with two chambers.